She's the founder, owner, and executive chef of Berkeley's legendary Chez Panisse, an originator of California cuisine, and as longtime listeners to the show know, a passionate advocate for healthy local seasonal food. Her latest project is a cookbook called In the Green Kitchen, Techniques to Learn by Heart, a compilation of methods for cooking perfect dishes from the simplest ingredients. It includes over 50 recipes created by Alice and other prominent chefs, including Thomas Keller and Lydia Bastianich, and it's published by Clarkson Potter. Alice Waters is Vice President of Slow Food International. She's been given the Global Environmental Citizen Award, and she's been inducted into the California Hall of Fame. I'm very pleased to welcome her back to our show. You know what happened there? Spell check.
Thank you.
So how would you define a green kitchen?
Well,
I mean, is there one?
Simplicity, sustainable thinking, minimum amounts of equipment, a compost bucket, real food from the market, from the gardens.
I'm amused by your suggestion that we have minimal amount of equipment, because I used to live downstairs from a Chinese chef who pretty much thought a wok and a scoop and a couple of other things were all that you need. And he'd walk into my kitchen and say, too much, too much.
It's true. It's true.
Why do you think we have all these things?
Well, I think we've been sold a lot of things, and a lot of people have intimidated us with this excessive need to have the peeler that just works on that apple and that scraper that's just for that thing, and
a cherry picker.
And we've been overwhelmed by it, and it's a kind of cost that disconnects us to what's really going on in terms of the cooking. So we're trying to get back to what's really important, and that is our sort of hands in the food, that there's no machines between us and the garlic, and that you're smelling it and pounding it and getting to know how to use it. And
is that something you can do in a restaurant without an awful lot of help in the kitchen?
It is something you can do in a restaurant, believe it or not, and I think we have been demonstrating that for some period of 38 years, that yes, we have sauté pans because we need those and they get washed and brought back, but we have our cast irons, and we take the compost back to the farm and bring back the vegetables. And everyone is part of the preparation of the dish, so you don't have all the food being chopped up by the people who come in the middle of the night or early in the morning who do that work. It's actually the chefs who do that work.
You talked about getting your own stuff out of your garden. There's been, in recent years, there's been this move back to the farm for many young people. But what we're seeing in recent times is a lot of growing in cities. Not victory gardens, something else. I know I have my own compost pot, and a couple of them, in fact, and I just planted lettuce yesterday. Tomatoes are already starting to look like they're going to come up nicely. And I'm not alone. We're starting to see this in the city. I suspect it's a lot of people who really don't just want to go and have to take what's made available in the supermarket.
It's a beautiful thing that's happening. And I do think of it a little bit as a victory garden, because we are empowered by that and feel like we don't have to rely on somebody else's growing of it, that we can do that ourselves, and we can feed ourselves for no cost.
But not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the space.
But there are community gardens that we can be part of, and the whole green roof planting is fantastic here in New York and in Brooklyn particularly. I know a number of restaurants that have gardens on the roofs.
Mm-hmm. And there actually, Brooklyn seems to be a new farming community. There's a whole bunch of places all over Brooklyn, from Greenpoint to Red Hook. At the beginning of your book, you include a Green Kitchen Manifesto. And one of the first things you deal with is affordability is one of the goals of the Green Kitchen. But aren't high-quality organic ingredients a lot more expensive?
They are more expensive. And I want them to be more expensive because I want to pay the farmers the real cost of the food. And when you're asking somebody to grow something that's nourishing, and they're really trying to get it to you when it's still alive, and taking care of that land, I feel like I'm kind of making an investment into the future at the same time. Now, we either pay up front or we pay out back. Around food anyway, the subsidies of food and the kind of food that is sold cheaply in this country is of course making us all sick.
So would a good government policy might be to subsidize organic or local farming and not those huge farms that mass produce.
Indeed.
But what now? Do you prefer organic or do you prefer local?
I prefer local organic.
Well, sometimes that's impossible. So if you go to the store and you see organic, and it turns out it's from another place, been shipped there from Chile, or in New York, we get an awful lot of stuff from Florida and California.
Well, I go right up to the produce manager, and I just tell him. I say, if you get in local organic food, I'll bring 10 of my friends, and I'll come and buy it.
What do we do with oranges and bananas in a place like New York?
I think, you're always going to have a few things that come from farther away and that are sort of special gifts of a particular season and that can travel well. I mean, whether it's tea or coffee beans or oranges in February. But at the same time, you can ask for all of those things to be sort of good, clean, and fair, which is that slow food mantra, and insist that there are fair trade practices, that it is organically grown, that there are standards, and that it tastes good.
My guest is Alice Waters, whose latest book is In the Green Kitchen, Techniques to Learn by Heart, published by, it's published by Potter.
Yes.
And it doesn't have Chez Panisse in the title, as your previous books did. You're trying to tell us something else here.
Well, this is, I am, and I wanted to just sort of, as I said before, demystify the idea of cooking. And very often, I'm of course associated with an expensive restaurant, but I wanted to show that there are certain techniques that, if you learn them, and it's how I learned to cook, that if you learn them, you can cook anytime, any place. So it was important to me to have my Indian friend Nilufer Ichaporia to be part of this. And it was important that I had the voices of even a really important chef like Rick Bayless, who's cooking Mexican food, where it's not about what ethnicity this is. This is about the purity of the ingredients and the simple techniques that we all need to know about, like roasting a chicken or making a stock or pounding garlic. Those are the basics. They're almost before the recipe.
Were celebrity chefs like Dan Barber surprised when you asked them to contribute methods as simple as steaming vegetables?
But no, not at all, because that's what he does. I mean, he gets them from his farm and he treats them very simply like that. He's not overcooking them and saucing them up. He's pretty dedicated to that steaming of a little turnip and wilting the greens and using all the parts of a vegetable is something very important for our economical kitchen.
The Sicilian chef Angelo Gattaro contributes his method for poaching an egg.
Oh.
Is it different from the way you learned how to poach an egg?
Well, it is a little bit different. But then I used to make mayonnaise. The first time I was successful, it was because somebody said I had to put a potato, half of a potato, on the end of a fork. And I think it probably added a little moisture to the emulsion at the beginning and kind of helped. But I thought that that's how you had to do it. And Angelo thinks for his poached eggs that you put him in the water first with the shell on and count to 10. No. that may be true or
not. Well,
or
I may
not,
count to 10 faster than he does.
But whatever works, whatever works.
And you have your daughter suggesting ways of washing lettuce.
Well, that's kind of the way that we've done it forever in our household. And she just picked it up, and she's quite articulate about the detail. And I love that description of just, you know, because she loves lettuce. She loves salad. And so when she's describing it, it just makes you understand easily.
Now, Jacques Pepin does a demonstration. He wrote a book called La Technique, and he does a demonstration in which he says that technique is the key to cooking well. If you understand some pretty basic techniques, you just can't go wrong. You're saying pretty much the same thing.
I absolutely agree with him.
And so all of those things, those fancy magazines where you have 85,000 steps, really, that's kind of silly?
Well, I saw the movie Julia. And when she was learning, Julia Child was learning how to chop onions, I just thought, that's it. I would learn probably in the course of a year how to do that really well and quickly.
Well, you learned in France too, didn't you?
Well, I didn't learn in France, but I learned to cook in France. But I learned to taste in France, and that's a big part of this book too. Sticking your finger in the vinaigrette, tasting it, thinking about it, finding ripe fruit, and comparing it to the different varieties of things that we find in the farmers market.
Besides running Chez Panisse, you founded the Edible Schoolyard Project at the Martin Luther King Middle School in Berkeley, and that has spread around the country. In fact, don't we have some edible schoolyards here in New York, or at least one?
You do. It's happening out in Brooklyn, if you can imagine, in a public school.
And that's a way of getting kids to learn these techniques. Well, they actually are growing the vegetables and the fruit, aren't they?
They are. And I'm just so pleased that this book is supporting our projects around the country. And the idea is really to engage them in that interactive way. So they're going out in the garden to do their math class and measuring the beds. So they're going into the kitchen and they're doing their English class and writing essays about food and are connecting it with a history class in Middle Eastern cooking. And it's just, it's a way to bring them into a new relationship to food.
And people like Will Allen are hoping that this sort of thing will prevent obesity in the future, because kids will fall in love with things that you can't get at the fast food store. When President Obama took office, you pressed the first family to start an organic garden at the White House, and they did it. Did you have a direct hand in that process?
Well, I've been pressing there for quite some long time since the Clintons were in office. But I think it takes someone who really believes that this is important to actually accomplish it. And it was so beautiful that within 2 months, Michelle Obama went out in the garden with school children. And who could have thought of a better connection? And it sort of took food out of that foodie place and brought it back into the earth. And the idea that children needed to come back to their senses and back to nature is kind of fundamental to living our lives well.
So where is most of your energy focused now? At Chez Panisse, at Slow Foods, at Edible Schoolyard?
Well, I always think of it as all of a piece, but I have to say that I'm out there trying to talk the talk in as many places as I can. And I just came back from New Orleans. And what's going on there in the Edible Schoolyard is just kind of remarkable. And it's growing in its own way. And, of course, there's such a rich culture of gastronomy in there. And they're so desperate to support the people who live there that are growing food. So I think it's a marriage for edible education.
Alice Waters will be giving a talk and signing books tonight at Book Court in Brooklyn on Court Street at 7 p.m. And we have posted two of her recipes from this book on our website at WNYC.org. One is for the fish soup. The other is for baked rockfish. And I've checked them out.
They work.
They work. Well, and I'm sure that's really important because there have been some cookbooks with recipes that don't always work.
Well, I think it is very important that recipes work, but it's more important, really, that people get their hands into the food and they don't worry about making mistakes.
And that they eat at home.
And that they eat at home with their family and friends. Absolutely.
Alice Waters' latest book from Clarkson Potter is In the Green Kitchen, Techniques to Learn by Heart. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.